broadcasting live across the great state of Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, for those of you that heard the Fox News radio update there just a couple of minutes ago, they're now searching the Biden beach house. They've got to go see how many classified documents are at the Biden beach house. How many different houses, how many different mansions do they need to search for this guy owns here? I mean, think about this. This is, once again, these are the people that lecture you about eating beef. These are the people that lecture you about needing to buy electric vehicles. And in all of the beach houses and in all of the mansions that Joe Biden owns, that they're struggling to search every single one of them now, not one electric vehicle owned by Joe Biden in any of them here. Yeah, they're searching the Biden beach house now. Why would Biden have a beach house? Climate change is supposed to swallow up the seaside. That house is supposed to be underwater in more ways than one. The very fact that he even has a beach house is hypocrisy and is demonstrative of the fact that he doesn't believe the climate alarmist nonsense that he's pushing out there. He doesn't believe the climate alarmist nonsense that John Kerry flew in a jet to Davos to go spew once again, that Al Gore, with his many mansions, flew another jet to Davos to go preach this climate alarmist nonsense. They don't even believe it. They're just profiting off of all of it, aren't they? Hey, Aaron Flint here. Great to be back with you here on this Monday. We had a great time in Las Vegas for the Big Shot Show. Kind of funny, though. You know, I still didn't even gamble once. Walked through a casino to do the show. It was a great time at the SHOT Show, but I mean, other than, you know, a brief walk on the strip, you wouldn't even have known you were in Las Vegas. You would have just thought you were hanging out with a bunch of cool gun guys for a few days. And so, so much content that we piled into those 3 days of shows that it is great now to be back in the studio with you so that we can hear from you, so that we can take your phone calls here on the show. For most of the next 2 hours, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to have the phone lines open. You can call in if you got something you want to talk about. I know there's lawmakers in the Capitol in Helena right now as we speak that are probably going to want to call in and jump in on the conversation and tell you about the latest efforts to try to give you your money back. So that's coming up. Plus, we've got the Frontier Institute joining us around 8:40 to talk about some of the latest reports that they've put together and some of the recommendations they're giving to lawmakers in Helena during the legislative session right now as well. So I know there's going to be a lot to talk about, but we want to hear what you want to talk about because the show is called Montana Talks. The number for you, 406-294-0970, or you can send us a message on our Montana Talks app as well. Lots to get to here. In fact, there was another story here. This is kind of a random one, but it stood out to me. I was reading the national kind of news rundown from Fox News Radio, and there's a story involving Malmstrom Air Force Base. Hadn't seen or heard this anywhere in the Montana media, well, yes, yet at least. Maybe it was out there. Maybe I missed it while I was at the SHOT Show. But this one making some national news headlines. So I'll share that right after this and then get to your phone calls.
Reporting from the Montana Legislature, I'm Eleanor Smith. Families and friends of missing people filled four rows of a hearing room in the Capitol Friday, some wiping away tears as proponents of House Bill 18 testified about searching for their loved ones, some of whom still have not been found. The bill would spend $61,000 of the state's money for a grant program to train search volunteers. After passing the House, it is now in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Democratic Representative Tyson Runningwolf from Browning is the bill's sponsor.
As I stand here today, it's a push from them folks that are missing, because they can't speak for themselves.
The committee heard testimony from 16 proponents of the bill, many of which were members of grassroots search teams, including Rhonda Grant Connolly, a member of the Blackfeet Nation.
I cannot stress enough how this House bill would help our missing Indigenous murdered people.
There were no opponents of the bill.
This legislative update is brought to you by the University of Montana School of Journalism, the Montana Broadcasters and Newspaper Associations, and the Greater Montana Foundation.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, this is great. I just saw an email from Jim in Kalispell. Hey, could we schedule a time? And I was just about to, when I got to the next break, I was going to send an email back. Hey, no need to schedule a time. The phone lines are open. The show is called Montana Talks. Call in and talk. Looks like he's on the phone line. So looking forward to that phone call here in just a second. Yeah, real quick, this is the story that caught my eye. You know, as a, you know, several of our radio stations are Fox News radio affiliates, and so I'll get kind of a daily rundown of the stories that they're going to be covering, the stories that they're going to be reporting on. And this one caught my eye because it's a story about Montana. Nine military officers who had worked decades ago at a nuclear missile base in Montana have been diagnosed with blood cancer, and there are, quote, indications that the disease may be linked to their service. This is according to military briefing slides that have been obtained by the Associated Press. One of the officers has died. All of the officers, known as missileers, were assigned as many as 25 years ago to Malmstrom Air Force Base, home to a vast field of 150 Minuteman III intercontinental ballistic missile silos. The nine officers were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin lymphoma, according to a January briefing by U.S. Space Force Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Siebeck. So anyway, that is a story based off of AP reporting that Fox News Radio is sharing here this morning. I haven't heard it during any of the national news updates, but saw it in my daily rundown. And, you know, a Montana story like that, wanted to share with you. 406-294-0970, the number. I opened up this hour of the program by talking about Joe Biden and the latest on the mishandling of classified documents. The big thing that stood out to me over the weekend is that they've now reported that the classified documents that they're finding in all of these Joe Biden homes and office locations, some of the classified documents go all the way back to when he was still a United States senator. So Joe Biden has been mishandling classified information for a very long time. Now, David Noble, who joins us on the show from time to time, always does a great job filling in as a guest host as well. He was on his Twitch TV podcast. He was watching MSNBC's Meet the Depressed, Meet the Press yesterday. And something that Chuck Todd said right out the gates, that has David Noble saying, that's it. They're trying to push Joe Biden off to the side. So anyway, we'll get to that here in just a few minutes for you. First, let's go into the phone lines. Jim Riley in Kalispell. Jim, thanks for the call. What do you want to share with our listeners?
Aaron, thanks for having me on. This weekend, I was invited by Evie Cahalan, who's the president of Flathead Republican Women, to speak at her group, and the topic was school board trustee elections. And I did some research to find out how many positions were open in Flathead County before I went to the meeting. You know, I talked about leadership as my main point there and getting more people involved. And one of the things about leadership is if you can figure out what breaks your heart, you can do a better job being a leader so you can solve that problem. Well, a few days before that meeting, what broke my heart were homeless dads and you know, absent parents within the family. But as I did my research, I found out that there were over 33 open trustee seats in Flathead County alone. And that's the good news. The bad news, what breaks my heart, is that there is nobody applying for these roles. In other words, when I reached out to the clerks of these schools, I said, well, is anybody running for this election? No, we haven't seen any applications yet. And what I'm fearful of is that after 3 years of masking and vaccines and forced closures and all this other stuff, that we're already becoming complacent again as a Republican Party.
That's a good
point.
We
have an incredible opportunity to get on these school boards and help make more of a difference than what we made in the last couple of years. And people are back sitting at home on their hands, not getting involved. And I'm hoping that they're listening today to understand they've got to run for these school boards. If you can drive your car and read the newspaper, you have the qualifications to be on a school board trustee panel. That means you got common sense and the ability to read. It's not that hard, people, and I want to see you run for these seats.
33 open seats just in the Flathead alone for school board positions. Jim, did you hear Dr. Sebastian Gorka on the show with us from the SHOT Show last week? I don't know if you heard that part. I'm trying to think when we ran that interview. He basically made that point that you're making right now. Is he's like, all you people out there, you'll complain about the Republican Party. You'll complain that, oh, the Republicans this and critical race theory, and we got to do this with our schools. Run for the school board. Run for county precinct positions. Get involved at the local level. Don't just sit back and complain about it all. It was a great point by Gorka, right?
Well, I didn't hear it. I was listening to all your great stuff with Seth Burgley and Shield Arms. I missed that. But, you know, people think, well, I'm intimidated. I don't know what to do. It's not that hard. It is not that hard to be involved in your community. You go down to the school. You ask for the application. You fill it out. You sign it right there. You run a decent election. You get elected, and you start making a difference. And, by the way, I gave that list of all the open seats to the Republican women. So if you're wondering, if you're in Flathead, what seats are open, you can reach out to them or look at their website. I know it's posted up already. And you can find out what seats are available. And get involved. Do not be complacent, because we will lose this country again. We all want to brag about it. You know, it's all about the kids. It's all about the kids. Well, guess what? This is the front lines for the kids right now.
No, that's a great point. Yeah, and a lot of people will get so involved in inside baseball and this Republican group fighting that Republican group. Look, 33 seats need to be filled. Stop fighting each other and get out there and take care of our kids in these schools. We need to do like what Ron DeSantis did in Florida. And flip some of these liberal school boards, or strengthen what remains, right? Jim, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. By the way, Gorka was on Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour, and the full audio is on our Montana Talks podcast already on the Montana Talks app.
Leon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I got a great message from Representative Jerry Schillinger at a circle. He said, hey, I dropped a bill Friday which would return $1.4 billion to taxpayers. Can I call in and talk about it? Well, heck yeah, call in. In fact, we'll get to Representative Schillinger and Representative Jedediah Hinkle here in just a second. But first, let's go to Tim in Billings. Tim, what do you want to share this morning?
Morning, Eric. Morning. I saw something interesting this morning I thought you'd really like. You know how you're always talking about in Montana, the biggest fight would be over if we ever have to give up when we have to give up the 406 area code. You know, who's going to get that? There's a gentleman on Twitter. His name is Cody McCracken. And he tweeted out, if you were to take current day populations and apply them to the license plate for the counties in the state of Montana, what county would be seated where? And he's got two tweets, and you know, then he also had the first one is what everything would be currently, and then the second tweet shows either population growth or population loss and what the county number would be after that. And I think that's where you see the real fight, because you know, Silverville County, they're never going to give up that number one. And there's a lot of counties they don't want to see Yellowstone go from 3-1, because, gosh dang, Yellowstone County, they can't have that.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw KTVQ television. Kelsey Mirison did a report on that. Yeah, that was very interesting. It just as Tim said, okay, so you look at the license plate numbers right now. Okay, Yellowstone County is number 3. But if you went by population numbers on the latest census, as this gentleman did, Yellowstone County would be number one on the license plates. Flathead County, our listeners in Kalispell right now. Well, you would no longer be number seven, maybe the lucky number seven. You'd be number four. Now, Ravalli County, the Bitterrooters, they wouldn't be 13. They would now be number seven. Missoula, instead of four, would be three. I thought that was very interesting. Butte Silver Bow, by the way, would go from being number one to being number eight on this. That was very interesting. We need to do a story on our Montana Talks website about that one as well, because that's a fun one to talk about, that's for sure. Now, Representative Jerry Schillinger in Circle, Macomb County, let's see, you guys would be number 47 if they redid the license plates. What do you think of that, Jerry?
Well, we like number 41, but we appreciate our rural nature, that's for sure.
That's right. It's like the higher number is almost the point to brag about in this case, right?
Yeah, I would think so. And the only challenge for us as representatives, as that number goes up, our districts have to include more counties, so it gets to be more of a challenge to do the job we'd like to do with being in touch with our constituents.
That's right. Well, part of the job you're trying to do, I know, is giving we the people some of our money back, especially after all the inflation that's hitting everybody's pocketbooks under Joe Biden and John Tester. Tell us about the bill you dropped Friday.
Well, absolutely, Aaron. And as you recall, back during the late summer, early fall, we tried to get a special session called so we could start sending this money back. And however you term it, it's an over budget amount of tax collection. And back when we were trying to call a special session, it was looking like there was going to be probably a little over $2 billion, maybe $2.5 billion of excess collections that way. And right now it's shaping up to be, by the end of June, probably over $3 billion of excess over budget collection. And so we're trying to, as a Freedom Caucus bill, I'm sponsoring this $1.4 billion refund as a down payment. It should be more, but that's the start. And unfortunately, kind of as we feared, as we got into regular session, more and more people are trying to figure out more and more ways to not send that money back. So we put this bill in, and we're going to push it as an opportunity to send some money back to the people, because, as you said, obviously inflation's kicking us all in the behind, and a lot of people could use those dollars right now.
Yeah, I've got a story on our Montana Talks website right now featuring Dr. Pat Barkey from the University of Montana, BBER, basically saying that, hey, we had a good wage year in Montana last year, but it basically got wiped out by inflation. How does your bill differ from what the governor's proposing for tax relief, and is it differ or similar to what Representative Bill Mercer out of Billings was putting forward?
Well, they've kind of taken Representative Mercer's bill, as I understand it, and combined it with some of the governor's proposals. And unfortunately, the amount of income tax refunded under that proposal right now has shrunk to a little over $400 million, whereas in the Freedom Caucus bill, it's $1 billion. The amount that they propose in property tax refunds for residential property is actually a bit higher than, I think, than what ours is proposed at right now. But ours reflects what's actually a more accurate collection of property taxes related to residential over either the 21 or the 22 tax years. So ours would return about $275 million. And then similarly, both bills, I think, would pay off about $100 million of long-term debt.
Very interesting. Well, let me sneak Representative Jedediah Hinkle on here. If I hang up on you guys by accident, call right back in. I've been told that this will now work to get you on at the same time. But like I say, okay, good, it worked. Representative Hinkle, great to hear from you. Tell us why you're backing this specific proposal and how much support it's got amongst the House majority.
Thank you, Aaron. Thanks for having me on. So one of the reasons why I'm backing this proposal is Representative Schillinger touched on it, that, you know, we had a fear last summer. We called that special session to try to get some of this money back to the taxpayers before the regular session started, because we knew that that surplus would get eaten up. And it looks like that's what's going on. So back then, you know, we had about $1.4 billion in surplus, and we're planning on giving $900 million back to the taxpayer. But that special session didn't happen. And now we have $2.4 billion. So we have another billion in surplus. But now that bill is being trimmed down to about $700 million back to the taxpayer. So it seems like the more money we have in surplus, the less the taxpayer is getting. And so that's why I'm backing this bill. And I think Bill Mercer's bill would be great if it could be left alone and we could at least get his original amount, which was $900 million back to taxpayers. But it seems like that just keeps chipping its way down as it goes through the process. But so I'm backing this bill here so we can get the Freedom Caucus bill, so we can get more money back to taxpayers who paid into it.
Yeah, and that's a key point there. In fact, I just got a message from Kyle Austin with Farm 406 in Billings. He said, ask them if the money goes back to the people who actually paid it or if it's going to go back to everybody. Sounds like you want to make sure that the people who actually paid the taxes will get the relief.
Correct, yeah. It's individuals who have paid into it that will get it back. With this Freedom Caucus bill, it goes up to $3,500 is the cap per individual. So if you're filing jointly with a wife, then we can go up to $7,000 back if you paid that much into it. Now, if you only paid, you know, $1,200 into income taxes, then that's the amount you will get back. So you have your own cap is what you paid into it, and then you have another cap if you've gone beyond that.
All right. Well, yeah, Representative Hinkel, thanks so much for calling in this morning. Before we move on here, Representative Jerry Schillinger out of Circle, you know what Representative Hinkel just said there about the bigger this surplus gets and the longer this session, you know, keeps moving on, it seems like the money that's going to go back to taxpayers starts to shrink a little bit. Timing and everything, how, you know, is there a way to speed up the process for the tax relief to get that further up in the priority for the session as a whole, or do you have to get stuck down a set calendar?
Well, I guess sooner the better. And the way to speed things up is to find something that 51% in the House at least agree on. You have to have a majority to pass the bill. And so so one of the things that is going around here is that this compromise bill with Mercer's, Representative Mercer's and the governor's, some people are viewing that as a down payment on tax relief and tax rebates, but I'd be a little concerned that if that bill passes by itself, that might be the end gate then for returning overpaid taxes, and we don't want to see that happen.
Interesting.
It seems like there's a huge effort right now to take every savings account that the state has and double or triple it, and to totally insulate state government from any kind of economic setback that might be coming in the future. And quite frankly, Freedom Caucus believes we should be helping the individuals insulate themselves a little bit from the setbacks that may be coming. So that's
makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah, we the people have been struggling under the Biden tester inflation. So hopefully we the people can get some relief. All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time this morning. Stay tuned, because it's very likely that we'll be doing our show live from the Capitol coming up Monday and Tuesday. So we'll keep you posted on that front. Hey, I mentioned getting that message from Kyle at Farm 406. You know, if you want to keep more money in your pocket, you're going to want to give a call to Kyle right after the show today, because it's for the month of January alone, especially for those of you, if you already know that for the next year, you already know what kind of medications you're going to be taking. Maybe you have blood pressure medication or whatever. If you already know the medications that you're going to be using for the rest of the year, you can purchase all of your generic prescriptions at cost. You heard me right. At cost. Get all your generic prescriptions as part of their Cost Plus program at Farm 406. Check them out, farm406.com, farm406.com. Or for our listeners in the Billings area, you can just drop by 38th and Grand and go see it for yourself. That's where I go to get all my my pre-workout supplements, my BCAAs, things like that before I go to the gym, and Montana-made products, Farm 406. All right, the Frontier Institute with a new report.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Call Aaron on the Parsec Data Management phone lines, 406-294-0970. Parsec Data Management, securing critical business IT.
All right, we've got a great guest joining us here in just a second, and then coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll have the phone lines open for the full hour. Anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks. Getting several messages. Obviously, many of you are very interested in what Representative Schillinger and Hinkle had to say there. Let's see. Rich in Billings had kind of a follow-up question here. So what groups in the legislature have the votes to pass tax relief the fastest? So that's kind of a good question. Okay, because, Rich, we could expand on that one, too, if you want to send us another message. So are you saying, okay, does the Freedom Caucus have the votes? Does the More Moderate Solutions Caucus have the votes? Does nobody have the votes? Do the governor and leadership all need to get in one room and say, hey, guys, let's hammer this out and get this figured out and get on the same page so we can get something across the finish line? That's a great question that I think stems from that message there from Rich in Billings. Cindy, I think in Big Fork, I think is where Cindy sent me an email from. Aaron, sure, we would like some of that money back to us, but why don't they take that money that the rest of it, after giving back to the citizens, and put new infrastructure in, like pipes that are surely rusted and crusted in our roads? Yeah, I think that's part of the plan, too, is also invest some of the surplus as well. But they also want to make sure that people get some of their money back here. Let's see. Lindell, I think, in Kalispell. Why go through the hassle of refunding the taxpayers? Why don't we credit our next tax payment with that refund? Yeah, I guess that's one way there as well. Thanks for the message. All right, jumping right into it here. Yeah, there's a new report that is just coming out or just recently came out here. I know we've been on the road for the SHOT Show in Las Vegas for several days now, but it's the Montana Zoning Atlas 2.0. Published by the Frontier Institute, which is a free market think tank here in Montana. We've now got Tanner Avery with us. Tanner is the communications director for the Frontier Institute. Tanner, great to have you. I think you joined us on the show previously, or at least we got to say hello to you in studio. So great to have you this morning.
Thanks for having me on, Aaron.
Yeah, give us the big picture on what you think Montanans would be interested in when it comes to this Montana Zoning Atlas 2.0. I mean, I know that one of the major issues confronting the state and confronting the legislature is affordable housing. The question is, okay, how do we deliver affordable housing? Seems like the Democrats want to use more government money to build more government housing or government subsidized housing, which will just drive up costs and property taxes for the rest of us, whereas, you know, others are calling for a more free market approach, shall we say.
Yeah, definitely, Aaron. You know, and over the last few years, there's been a lot of discussion on what's called California-style zoning restrictions and how they're a major contributing factor to Montana's housing crisis. And our new report, as you said, the Montana Zoning Atlas 2.0, confirms that Montanans aren't just getting priced out of Montana cities. They're getting zoned out. So addressing the government-imposed barriers to starter homes is a great place to start.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know when we previously had, you know, Kendall Cotton, the CEO of the Frontier Institute, on the show, he's made a really good point in that you know, it's in the cities, inside of city limits, where you have some of the most burdensome zoning regulations, or it's so hard to build something new, for example, like build a new house, that, I mean, I know some builders, like, for example, in the Billings area, they won't build inside of city limits. They will build outside city limits because they say it's just too big of a hassle. But oddly enough, usually the people who back the big government approach are the ones, you know, who also claim to be, you know, protecting from overdevelopment. But what they're really doing is they're pushing the development further out into the countryside and into some places that they claim to want to protect.
Exactly. You know, Montana, we have we're at a crossroads right now, and we have a choice to make. We can either allow for more infill, kind of the moderate density duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes within city limits, or we can continue to have California-style zoning and have more urban sprawl. And, you know, the bummer with that is it really uproots the rural communities on the edge of town. And so we're at an important crossroads. We got some decisions to make.
So what were some of the key points, some of the key takeaways from this Zoning Atlas 2.0?
Yeah, definitely. You know, well, first of all, 50% of zoned land in 13 of Montana's most in-demand counties either outright prohibit or penalize affordable starter homes, such as duplexes. And then within city limits, what we found is two-family housing is on average welcomed by right on just 41% of zoned land, while three-family housing is welcomed on just 29% of land. So what this really shows is we're not allowing for starter homes within city limits especially. And if we want to address the housing crisis and really kind of unleash the potential of future generations, it's going to take allowing more starter homes in city limits. It's going to take rolling back our California-style zoning.
Well, and it's interesting to me, too, because, you know, when it comes to a zoning standpoint, what's interesting to me is what's not allowed, what's so hard to overcome for some of the builders out there, and yet then what ends up being allowed and what ends up being built. I know, like, right now in the Columbia Falls area, for example, there's a lot of concern about the multifamily, you know, kind of larger style apartment complexes and how close it is to the river, things like that. But then you take Billings, Montana, for example, and I've talked with home builders who won't try to build a home inside city limits because they say the city's just too hard to deal with. And yet I know friends who live in a certain neighborhood that now have, you know, a multi-story apartment complex staring right over their fence into their backyard. And so it's like, wow, it's too hard to build houses here, but yet now a homeowner doesn't even have privacy in their own backyard anymore. So it's like, how does that get built, but yet all this other stuff has been too hard to build? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's exactly right. You know, we have a lot of single-family homes in Montana, and here in Bozeman, we're seeing a lot of apartment complexes built. But what we really see missed out is what's called this missing middle. This is that gentle density. These are the duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes. And if you add so much red tape that you limit the ability for these small, more smaller density units to be built, then you're going to run into issues where all of a sudden we have a massive backlog of housing demands, and people are going to, you know, rely more on apartment complexes. So if we want to kind of address that, we have to unleash all these different types of housing and allow the market to decide where to go forward and what kind of housing is going to best fit the needs of Montanans.
The missing middle, that's a great line, the missing middle, because, yeah, this neighborhood that I'm thinking of in particular would be the perfect example of that, where we made it too hard to build the middle class style homes. And so, nope, now the city's just going to say, nope, here you go, massive apartment complex staring right into your own backyard. So the missing middle, that's a great line there. The other thing, you know, that's always kind of I think frustrated many people is, okay, well, what if you just want, say, a manufactured home or something? There's really a broader question of, do you really own the land that you actually own? When you've got so many regulations telling you, nope, you can't build this. Nope, you can't even live out of the shed while you build the house. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And, you know, when we were going through this zoning atlas and kind of putting it together, it was a lot of going through zoning codes and finding out what they do or don't allow. And something that I found routinely was that manufactured housing is kind of discriminated against. And it's one of the most affordable types of homes. And there's some debate about whether you own the land underneath. And that's a fair one to have. But at the very least, if you want to be able to build a affordable starter home, such as a manufactured house, you should be able to. There shouldn't be restrictions on that kind of thing if it's, you know, safe residence to live in.
All right. Well, hey, Tanner Avery, if you can, stand by. We've got a caller on the line that wants to jump in on the zoning conversation out of Belgrade, Montana. So we'll get to that here in just a couple of minutes. If you can, stand by. And Kevin in Belgrade, stand by as well. You know, first, before we go to the break here, you know, we talk about the pain of building a home. Some of you deal with actual pain. I'm talking about pain in your neck, pain in your back, pain in your joints. And you're doing everything you can to avoid surgery, for example. Well, I'll tell you, if that is you, if you're looking for some alternatives here, if you're looking for an all-natural process to heal that pain, an all-natural process using highly concentrated healing properties from your own body, well, we've got an answer for you now. QC Kinetics has over 100 clinics all across the United States, but they are now on the ground in Montana with these very same regenerative solutions, and they'll get you moving again this year, pain-free. For a free consultation, get a hold of QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263. Again, that's QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263. Kevin in Belgrade, if you can stand by, you'll be first up right after the break.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, we spent $61 million on this World Economic Forum. Well, what did we learn this week beyond the fact that Al Gore thinks that the oceans are boiling and we have rain bombs out there in the world? Here you have former British Prime Minister Tony Blair saying there needs to be a global database for vaccinations. Hey, Tony, go jump in a lake. And we're paying for this crap. Why are we paying for this crap? You have one speaker calling for a billion people to stop eating meat for innovation and the environment. Meanwhile, they got 1,000 private jets there. No, I wouldn't care about the. I don't care about the private jet. If you're not a hypocrite telling me not to eat meat, I eat paleo. All I eat is meat.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Do you have more than $50,000 saved for retirement that you can't afford to lose? Biden's pro-inflation White House sent billions to Ukraine, burying U.S. in national debt, while doing nothing to stop inflation and help our own country. Can your retirement survive crippling inflation and growing debt at the same time? If you have $50,000 or more saved for retirement, heed the warnings. Do something to protect yourself now. That's why, right now, thousands of Americans are using an IRS loophole to protect their retirement savings from everything that's going on. So call 855-815-GOLD to get your free IRS loophole kit and see how you could protect your retirement savings while getting up to $10,000 in free silver for doing it. We could be looking at a future worse than 2008, so don't wait. Call Gold Co. today. Call 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-GOLD.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The debt ceiling debate in Washington is pure theater, except for one thing. All the prop guns are loaded with live ammunition. To view the peculiar ritual in Congress that makes that body vote on spending twice, being played out once again for the national media to gorge itself on, is something that's hard to take seriously. The only way the show ends is to extend the debt limit. And yet the sticks of dynamite are there, and the massively bad, and massively stupid, I might add, outcome where there's an actual default because of congressional inaction, is sitting there in plain sight. You run out of adjectives to describe this kind of behavior, but what are the consequences? The U.S. borrows a lot of money, and it gets a better rate than you or I can. To be cut off from those needed funds, or even to just have them cost more to borrow, is a very bad thing that would inflict real pain. Let's hope this show ends soon. I'm Patrick Barkey.
8405.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
This is where Montana talks. You're listening to Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. By the way, if you want to check out this full report for yourself, Montana Zoning Atlas 2.0, go to frontierinstitute.org/atlas. There you go. All right. Only a quick few minutes left here. Kevin in Belgrade, thanks for your phone call. What do you want to say about this zoning conversation here?
Well, I received something in the mail from the Census Bureau, and it this might be a way that they're collecting data to do some gerrymandering and kind of zoning. I guess it doesn't directly relate to the zoning issues that are going on here in Bozeman, but this might be a way that they're kind of collecting data to, you know, redraw lines and everything like that for representatives. I got a thing from the Census Bureau. It's called the American Community Survey. There's some very, very, very invasive questions in there about race and how much do you earn and things like that.
That's right.
The census is only sent out, you know, every 10 years.
But they didn't want to ask about if you're a legal citizen or not, right? If I remember the debate there. All right, Kevin, thanks for the call. Let's sneak in another quick call here as well. John in the Flathead, did you have a quick question or comment?
Well, I did. I would like to find out how many areas are zoned for traditional mobile home parks and how many mobile home parks have been approved, proposed, and approved in the last 30 years that are traditional within those big seven cities and counties, and find out whether or not there was any pushback by the community complaining about affordable housing, yet they would stop a mobile home park. And I know one in Flathead County.
Interesting. So the very same people who want to use government, our taxpayer dollars, to build so-called affordable housing were standing in the way of affordable housing. All right, John, thanks for the call. Tanner, Avery, your thoughts? We got about a couple of minutes to go here on both phone calls.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, there's been a lot of articles and stories over the last, honestly, probably 5-10 years about mobile home parks and the issues that they're having to get approved. And I think it's just part of the broader conversation that we need all types of housing. We don't need a top-down mandated government system that says that we all should live in one type of housing. We should allow the market to decide. We should allow individuals to choose a house that works best for them. And that starts out with addressing our California-style zoning.
All right. Tanner Avery, Communications Director for the Frontier Institute. Thanks for your time this morning. Thanks for sticking around. Great to chat with you.
All right. Have a great one, Aaron.
Yeah, you too. Frontierinstitute.org/atlas to read that full report, the Montana Zoning Atlas 2.0. What should we talk about in the 9 o'clock hour? We had a busy few days down in Las Vegas for the SHOT Show, so I know there's a lot to talk about. Where do we start? Well, why don't you tell us? Send us a message on the Montana Talks app, or you can call in a little after 9 a.m. Phone lines are open, 406-294-0970 on our Parsec data management phone lines. Hey, you know, when we're talking about these congressional issues, when we're talking about what's going on in the legislature, at the end of the day, you want an advocate. You want somebody who's going to fight for you. Well, similar note, what happens if you get into a car accident? What happens if you get stuck into a legal battle of your own? Who's going to step up and be your advocate and fight for you? Well, let me tell you, the Montana Advocates. These are lawyers on the ground in Montana. And hey, check out their website. Give them a phone call, MontanaAdvocates.com. I talked with one of their lawyers in Billings. I actually served with her husband in the military. So she's the real deal. Military spouse, a lawyer here in Montana, supports the troops, wants to fight for you. So if you're looking for that kind of legal representation, check out MontanaAdvocates.com. Whether, you know, unfortunately somebody wrecks into your car, you name it, MontanaAdvocates.com, because you deserve an advocate.
Securing America.
The U.S. continues to take the lead in providing military aid to Ukraine, announcing another $2.5 billion package on Friday. Joint Chiefs Chairman General Mark Milley.
In the words of President Biden, Secretary Austin, and many other national leaders, as much as it takes, for as long as it takes.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says providing the aid is a matter of principle for the U.S. and the other members of the multinational Ukraine Defense Contact Group. He says what they stand for is simple.
For a world where rules matter, and where rights matter, and where sovereignty is respected.
Some Republicans in Congress have expressed concerns about continuing to fund Ukraine. But on a visit to that country, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham said he doesn't expect those concerns to lead to a disruption in aid.
The Republican Party, in my view, will not abandon Ukraine.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and